Keep strong. This is our sermon text title today, Jude 20 to 25. Yes, it's not 25, or it's not six chapters that we're reading. If you're familiar with the book of Jude, there's only one chapter, so we just list the verses. No sense in saying chapter one when there's no chapter two, right? So Jude verses 20 to 25 is our text today. We're here in Jude for just one Sunday. And I was thinking, Jude is missing Jude this Sunday. So he's not here. Too bad. We're missing him. So Jude, what about Jude? What do we know about Jude? What do we know about this letter? Longer than some of the other one-chapter letters, 2nd and 3rd John, are also just one chapter. Well, Jude, first of all, is, you might remember back in September or in October, as I talked about some of the disputed books of the New Testament. James was one of those. Hebrews was another one of those. Disputed, it mainly, we call them that. It's a group of letters in the New Testament. A lot of the ones at the end that took a little bit of time for them to be acknowledged as Scripture. Part of that might be because they might have been written later than some of the others. So it just took a little bit more time for them to be broadly accepted as being Scripture. But they were, in the end, accepted by the church community, guided by the Holy Spirit, as part of God's written word. And so we consider them that way today. And Jude is one of those. There's not much of an introduction for Jude here. He simply says, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, it could very likely be, and we kind of think it is, that this Jude is the brother of James who wrote the letter, James, that goes by his name, who we identify with the half-brother of Jesus. So one of the other of his brothers, as it's described in the Gospels, that come and see him from time to time. We don't come across them very much, only a few references. But it's likely that Jude is one of those as well. Now, we don't know that for sure, but that is what is kind of one of the main ideas of who Jude is. This book in particular, Jude, well, another reason why it is considered one of the disputed books is that it has a lot of illustrations from the Old Testament, but also from Jewish legends and different writings. And so that was one of the other things that made it a little bit part of the disputed books. Not all of them come from Scripture, so people thought, well, is this really God's Word? But it eventually then was accepted as God's Word. The theme of Jude is talking about godless people. And the focus of this is not godless people in general out in the world, in the broader world. We kind of expect that people living without God are, in one sense, really going to be godless in the way that they act. But he's talking about people who, even within the church, within the family of believers, are godless, are not really following God's teaching. And there's some connections here with 2 Peter. And, it's uncertain which one was written first, but it kind of seems like maybe 2 Peter was written first, was written as a warning to people that this would happen. And Jude is now writing, saying, these things that Peter warned you about are happening in your midst. So watch out. Be careful about this. And one of the ways that this happens is that it can easily happen where people turn God's grace into a license to sin, saying, well, we're forgiven, so we do whatever we want. And it's easy for that to happen sometimes. And so that seems to be one of the things that's guiding this, that people are hearing the message of forgiveness and thinking, all right, great, we can do whatever we want, and really taking it that way. And he says that they deny Jesus Christ as sovereign and Lord. So it's just kind of taking whatever they want out of this religion, you might say. As Jude writes, he begins then, and as we get here, our verses are the very end of the letter. So I want to just give a brief, kind of a summary of what Jude goes through in the letter and give a little bit of explanation of it, kind of. So he begins just by saying, God delivered his people out of Egypt. So he establishes the foundation for them and for us of God's saving grace. Saving the people, saving us. And then the rest of it is simply examples of people rebelling against him. So we have those that were saved from Egypt, many rebelled, and many died in the wilderness. So Judas beginning by saying, you know, this is pretty common that this happens. Within the people of God, there is disruption, there is rebellion. There are other examples. Then he refers to even fallen angels who turned away from God. Sodom and Gomorrah are used as examples of those who are outside of the community of believers that by their behavior they were destroyed. He talks about, and this is where we get into some of those things that come from Jewish legends. He talks about slandering celestial beings. Well, we don't know exactly what that's all about, but he talks about even Michael the archangel disputing with the devil over the body of Moses. Now, again, that comes out of Jewish legend. We don't know what exactly that's all talking about. Is that something that was really happened, or is it something that was simply written about? And Judas taking it as an example to prove a point here. Even Michael the archangel didn't really confront the devil directly. He simply said, God is going to rebuke you. And he's talking about the rebuke that will come. And people who are living godless lives are living as unreasoning animals. That's the description he gives. And then he has a few other examples here. Cain, who killed his brother. He was behaving badly already, but then Abel's sacrifice was accepted, his was not, and so he killed him out of selfishness, out of pride. Balaam, another person who, if you remember the story, that's the one whose donkey talked to him, famous for that. Well, he kept on going to try and get a little bit of profit, even though he knew he wasn't going to be able to do what he was being asked to do. He just wanted money out of it. Korah was another one referenced here, who among the people of God did not want to submit to the leadership of Moses and Aaron and rebel against them and God, along with others. Jude describes these people as blemishes. As blemishes on God's people, as clouds without rain. So there's the promise of something good, and there's no rain. As trees without fruit, twice dead. So you see a fruit tree, and you expect to see fruit, and then no fruit. And there's a promise of something good, and it's not there. And he says that's what these people are like. And then he gets to even referring to another book that is probably not authentic, but it was from Enoch. So if you remember him, he was way before Noah even. He walked with God and then God took him. Well, there were some writings that claimed to be from Enoch and talked about the time that God would come and judge the world, and that there would be people who would be scoffers in the end times. And then Jude says the apostles, those who were disciples of Christ, those apostles have taught you also, yes, there will be people who will oppose Christ, even within the church, that oppose him, and that follow ungodly desires. They're grumblers, they have their evil desires, they flatter to their own advantage. Everything is for themselves. And so as he goes through all of that, that was a pretty quick summary. And if you missed any of those details, you know, don't worry about that. The main point is, he's giving multiple examples of how this happens, how people rebel. And so in the midst of all that, knowing, as we heard about from our gospel reading too, the kinds of things that will come in the last days, which we're really in the midst of now, all the way since Jesus went back to heaven. We're in the midst of those last days. And so we need encouragement in all of this. And that's where Jude then finishes off the letter here with a word of encouragement for people who may be not sure how to navigate all of this, not sure where to go. And that's where we get to in our text today. So our text is Jude verses 20 to 25. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Jude 20 to 25, reading in Jesus' name. But you, so in contrast to these others who are godless, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that comes, and even though we have warnings of the things that can happen even within your church, we thank you for this encouragement to keep strong and how we can do that. We pray that you would guide us this morning as we consider these words. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll invite any kids that want to come up to come to the front. Zeke, did you get... All right, okay. Forgot to get these ahead of time, and Zeke was kind enough to go get these for me. All right. What am I holding here?
Scissors.
Scissors. What do you do with scissors?
Cut hair.
You cut... Oh, my cut hair? That happens with scissors. My cut paper. You cut things, right? Well, I want to ask you something. Are you sure that these are called scissors? You know, I was told once by a clown in the public library when I was a kid, about your age, that these are called, that girls call these scissors and boys call these skizzers. Did you know that's true? Boys call them skizzers and girls call them scissors. Did you know that? Did you know that you should be calling them skizzers and not scissors? No? They're called skizzers. Would you call them that? You can keep calling them scissors, because that's what girls call them. But you can call them skizzers. What do you think? Is that true? You want to do that? Do you believe me? Yeah? You know what I'm getting at here? I really did. I was told that by a clown doing something at the public library when I was a kid, and he said, boys call them skizzers. It was part of his jokes and things like that. And I went home and I told my mom, I need to start calling them skizzers, because he told me they call them skizzers. I believed it. I believed it was true. It's not true, is it? Everybody calls them scissors, right? We're thinking about today as times where people can be teaching things that are wrong or encouraging us to do things that are wrong, and we know that they're wrong, but sometimes somebody can be very convincing. Do you think if I worked hard at it, I could maybe convince you that these are supposed to be called skizzers? No, you guys are pretty strong. You're keeping strong, right? You're not going to be convinced by that? Good for you. That's good. So today, what I'm thinking about and what I have on here is that guy pretty strong, do you think? Weightlifting. He's got a lot of weight there, unless those are made out of styrofoam and he's just acting. But based on the picture of his muscles there, I'd say, he's probably lifting a heavy weight, right? Well, what we're thinking about today is keeping strong. Jude, not your friend Jude that's not here today, but Jude that wrote this letter in the Bible is encouraging us to keep strong. How do you think we can keep strong? What's the way that we can keep strong in the things that we believe, that God has taught us? How do we keep strong? Any ideas? Any ideas? You probably have some. What do you think? No ideas of how we can keep strong?
Read the Bible.
Hey, okay, all right, we got some help here. Read the Bible, yeah. Any other ideas? That's the biggest one. Then maybe there's different ways that we read the Bible, right? But read the Bible is the biggest one. And what's something else? How can we communicate with God?
Weightlift.
No. How? And pray, right? Through reading the Bible and praying to God, He can help us stay strong in what we believe. So that's what we're thinking about today. If you want to hand those out. And let's see. Here we go. All right. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Yeah, I wasn't expecting silence on that one. I was expecting more of an answer, but there we go. All right. Well, how do you stay strong? how do you keep, what did I put on here? Yeah, keep strong, right? How do you keep strong? How do we keep strong in the faith? Jude is, as I said, introduced us to godless people, primarily thinking about in the church. And as I said, we can have, one of the ways that that works itself out is this idea that we have license to sin. God has forgiven us. He's a forgiving God. So we have freedom and we can act however we want. And maybe even the things that maybe some people would say are bad are actually good. And that comes out. And as we think about, then even within the church, the views of marriage can be distorted. Views of gender can be distorted. Those are some of the ways that things get distorted. We make excuses for behaviors, things that put other things in life ahead of God, and we say these are normal. This is fine. God has given us all of these things, and we don't stop to consider whether we are turning away from God in those things. And this happens not just out in the world, as we might say, but it happens within the church. At the very least, you know, I would say, you know, and to some extent, we would probably have to admit it happens for each of us, right? But at the very least, in the broader church, we know that that's happening. We know it's happening. People trying to convince us that the Bible is really saying these things and not what you were taught that it means about salvation, about sin, about forgiveness. So there's a temptation to follow that. And sometimes they can be very convincing that they're right. We go to another part of this, and we have the prosperity gospel. You've maybe heard that term. You've maybe heard some of those who are preaching that. This idea that God will give you what you want. He will give you the good life if you only trust Him to give it to you. If you ask Him for it, you name it, you claim it, you tell Him just boldly what you want, and He will give it to you, and He will give you a comfortable life. That trust in God means receiving whatever it is that we want to have a good life. And if you're not receiving it, it probably means that you don't trust well enough. There are those who teach that within the church or claiming to be a part of the church. Now, it is easy to attack others when we see some clear teaching like that, but we do need to watch ourselves as well. What risks might we have of not quite following the teaching that God gives us? What even self-righteous attitudes? Oh, well, we have it figured out. We have it all figured out, don't we? And sometimes that can even take us away from God and to our own ideas of what is right and what is wrong and what should be happening and some of those things. What about even a selfishness in relationships, in other things, where we just want what we want, basically what we think is best for us or would be most enjoyable, even if it's not to the extent of the prosperity gospel, that can easily infect us, can't it? To say, oh, I really think I should have these things. So how do we react then when we find that these types of teaching are in the church and in our hearts even, trying to convince us? Well, the first thing we do is we deal with ourselves. That's the first place we go. We do look ahead to Christ's return, that He is coming back. But in the meantime, we're living this life, aren't we? We're living this life. And so Jude says, keep yourselves in God's love. Keep yourselves in God's love. And he introduces that statement, keeping strong, keeping in God's love, by the means through which we can keep strong. And he says this, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, then he talks about keeping in God's love. So, now, build yourselves up. It sounds like it's something that we're doing. We're going to make ourselves strong. We'll see later on that that's not really fully the case. But there is a part that we contribute here as we think about responding to bad teaching. When we come across these things that tempt us to turn away from what God has for us and the faith and the salvation that He has given us, we learn the truth. We are strengthened in the truth. That's our goal, right? Jude wrote about a warning. And you know, he introduces, before he gets into all of this warning, he says, I wanted to write to you about the salvation that we have. I wanted to just write to you about, you know, I think what he's getting at there is just the simple, wonderful truth of the gospel. I wanted to write to you about that. But then he says, I needed to warn you about this. So he took the, I don't know, maybe he had a limited amount of time. Maybe that's why he didn't. Maybe his paper ran out and he couldn't, you know, write about both of them. But for whatever reason, he said, instead of doing that, I need to write about this. But what he really wanted to do was write about our salvation. You know, what we learned from that, as he wanted to just tell them the simple good news of the gospel, that it doesn't get old. It really doesn't. There's not a point at which we get and we say, okay, I've got it all figured out, and if you tell it to me again, it's just going to be old news, right? No, it doesn't get old. We need the refreshers, and we benefit from those. We can do that through worship. We can do that through, Sunday school, Bible study with the group, Bible study on our own. There are many ways, and I think it would be very, very difficult to have too much time in the Scripture. I think it would be very hard to get to a point where we said, you know what, I actually spent too much time reading my Bible this week. I think we're probably most of us a long ways from that, if it could even happen. And then we pray in the Holy Spirit. And as we think about Jesus talking about praying in His name, how do we pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, He guides us in what to pray, and we search for His will, so that what we are praying is in line with what God wants. And these are the things that keep us strong when we have outside influences trying to turn us away from God's Word. What about others then? What do we think about? How do we interact with others, especially as we think about godless people, those who really are focused not on worshiping God, but focused even sometimes in the church, who are focused on their own desires and needs? Well, as we said, we're still waiting, and Jude made reference to it, for Jesus' return. That's good news for us, but it's bad news for godless people. It's bad news for those who are turning away from Him. Now, we have to note that not all bad understandings and bad teaching are always malicious. Sometimes it's a simple matter of not knowing the truth. So Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to those who doubt. Correct if that is what's needed. Share the good news with them. They might not have heard the whole truth. They might not understand it all. Be patient. Be merciful. Teach when we need to. Together as a congregation, that's what we get to do. Save others by snatching them from the fire. And here the thought is, I think, that the fire of judgment at Christ's return, as we see people heading in the wrong direction, it's like we work to try and pull them back. It's really God who saves, but He uses us to reach out to people. Come back here. Don't go in that direction. If people are mistaken, if they're going the wrong direction, don't abandon them. Where possible, correct them. Work with them. And then we have another level that goes farther away. Those who are farther away, it says, to others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And when Jude gets to these are the real biggest problem here. These are those who are really intent on pulling people away from the gospel, who have false teaching, and that's clear. Now, in that case, do we condemn them and abandon them? Or do we also show mercy mixed with fear because we don't want to get pulled in that direction? So we're very, very cautious. But we also reach out. As we reach out, it's easy to be deceived, and so we don't want to risk too much to get pulled into that. But as I was reading Luther, Martin Luther talks about this and says the way he referred to this verse is he said, or these couple verses is, don't burn them like the Pope and the Inquisition burn heretics. So he's using that illustration of fire here, and really people were burned at the stake. And he says, you know, we acknowledge that there's wrong teaching, but show mercy to them. We don't burn them at the stake like the Pope and the Inquisition were doing at that time. Another commentator, Lenski, says, it might be better to understand this as opposed to show mercy, show pity. Now there's room for mercy as well, but this has a different thought. There may be no hope at this point. There are some people that maybe have gone so far, we don't know, only God knows, but maybe some have gone so far that they just won't turn away. But even if that's the case, we don't gloat over them that we know the truth and that they are mistaken, that they are wrong. We show pity to them. They are lost. And I don't know if you've ever had this thought. I've had this thought, and I'm embarrassed to say it, that if there's somebody that I disagree with on these substantial issues, I hear somebody, you know, distant from me, not somebody I know, but somebody maybe on the national scale or even bigger than that, saying things that makes it clear that they are rejecting God. And there's a thought that creeps into my mind that says, well, you'll find out, you know, in eternity. But wait a second, I can't be happy about that, can I? If they end up in judgment for eternity, that's not good. Show pity. We don't want the arrogance of knowing that we're right, right? We show pity to those who are lost. Can we do this? Can we be strengthened in this way? Can we deal with those who are teaching wrong things in this way? Can we do it? As we think about our last verses here, we reach out to God. Now, I want to mention something here, kind of one of these technical things. You don't have to care too much about it if you don't want to. But often, these last verses, when somebody does a benediction, they will sometimes use these last verses as a benediction. Now, I want to just make it clear that this is actually a doxology, which is a praising of God, which is different than a benediction that blesses the people who are hearing it. Now, you know, it can be kind of both at the same time, right? But, you know, if you're picky, if you want to be picky about it, this is a doxology, not a benediction. Although, I switch things around a little bit. I think that's okay. And we'll use it as a benediction at the end of the service. So, we'll do that. But here's the key here, as Jude writes this. Praising God. We are praising God, pointing us to Him. We are not doing this on our own. We don't strengthen ourselves on our own. We don't reach out to others on our own. We do it with God. And Jude reminds us of what God does, that He can keep us from stumbling. He's the one who does that, that keeps us strong, that presents us in His presence without fault and with great joy. He can do that. He is able to keep us safe. He is able to keep our faith strong. He is able to help us to reach out to those who are turning away, who are perishing, without giving in to that teaching. And so we praise Him. The only God, our Savior. Jude says, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Recognizing His sovereignty, we recognize that He has hope in troubled times. With the godless people, even sometimes among us, we can praise Him for who He is and how He works. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen, Jude finishes. He will bring us home in the end. And He is Lord through all of time. So as we think about Jude's letter here, we see godlessness. Godlessness, kind of that abstract term, but teaching, whatever it is, always trying to get in to the church, always trying to corrupt the believers, to turn away from God. But we have a God who saves, who can keep us strong. And so we are encouraged then to build one another up in that as we praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word to us. Thank You for the encouragement that we have. Thank You for the warning to watch out for godlessness, that it can surprise us. It can creep in. It can be disguised as something good. But we know that we have the truth in Your word, and we ask that You would guide us in it. Please do that. Please strengthen us. Help us to seek that strengthening each and every day, each and every week. And help us to then be able to reach out to others as well who need to hear, who need to be brought to the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.